You are listening to Amplify Your Success Podcast, episode 100. And today I'm going to share some hard-learned lessons, some massive insights, and some interesting perspectives I've gained over 100 episodes and almost 20 years in business. So let's get started.
Welcome to the Amplify Your Success Podcast. Hey, are you a thought leader, creative entrepreneur, or change maker and want to magnify your impact, boost influence while creating a financial abundance? Stay tuned for today's inspiring episode with your host, Melanie Benson.
Hello there, inspired entrepreneurs and business leaders. It's Melanie Benson, your host, and woohoo, we're celebrating 100 episodes of Amplify Your Success Podcast. Now, people have asked me, like, Melanie, you've been podcasting for years. How are you only at 100? And some people are like, hey, congrats, you're at 100. Well, yes, we are at 100 episodes here on Amplify Your Success Podcast. And yes, I have had a podcast for many, many, many years. It's just we switched gears and started Amplify Your Success last year. So yes, we're doing a big celebration here today. And part of that celebration is also the announcement of our brand new Own Your Bold Club. I am so excited about the club. Each month we focus on an area that when you bold up, you make more sales, you increase your revenue, you accomplish goals that you never thought you could, and ultimately you shatter your limits. So you can join us at ownyourboldclub.com. For the month of November, we are focusing on 10xing revenue. So whether you hit that 10x mark or you just double or triple, you'll be much farther along than you ever thought was possible. So join us at ownyourboldclub.com. One of the best books I ever read was a book by Oprah Winfrey called What I Know for Sure. And the reason I loved this book was because she shared insights and lessons and learnings and spiritual awakenings that she'd had after having such a profound career and meeting so many amazing people. And I have learned myself that oftentimes it's not the strategy or tactic that makes the biggest difference in your life or my life. It's hearing what really goes on behind the scenes. So today, celebrating 100 episodes of Amplify Your Success, I thought I would share some really hard-won learnings, some things that were massively painful to go through, but on the other side, I found were really pivot points for me and set me off in a better, more aligned, more empowering trajectory in business. So I could probably come up with a list of 100 to celebrate 100 episodes, but I'm going to keep it to 7 just for time. And the first one that I want to share with you is something that is very, it's become very much a mantra that I teach everyone in my Awaken Leadership Mastermind. It's something we'll talk about in the Own Your Bold Club because in a way it requires you to be very bold to do it. And that is, what happens when you simplify to multiply? You might want to write this one down because it will either resonate deeply and you're like, ah, yes, I need to simplify. Or you may go, that will never work for me. I have too many ideas. That would mean I would lose the very essence of who I am because you're a highly creative and multi-interested person. So here's what I mean by simplify to multiply. I mean simplify your focus to multiply your results. The more you resist this idea, the more it will come back to bite you. And you may actually have this deep feeling that you are creative, you have a lot of different interests. It might feel painful to think about focusing on one thing. I'm not talking about focusing on one thing at this moment. I'm literally talking about simplify your approach to multiply your results. I work on the board of a really amazing organization, and oftentimes I'm called in to consult and coach the president on direction. And one of the things that was happening, about midstream in the trajectory of this business was they had too many different things they were trying to accomplish all at the same time. And it wasn't that any of those were less important or less alluring or less enticing, but my point was that when you cannot expand your team, you have to simplify your focus if you want to gain traction. when you're trying to move too many different things to market at the same time and there's only one of you, or you have a small team, or even if you have a big team, confusion creates angst, and angst creates roadblocks and stress and overwhelm. In my own life, what I discovered along the way was there's two core ways this shows up. One is having too many offerings, and the other is too many directions you're trying to move at the same time. So when we talk about too many directions, guess what happens? You don't know which thing to do. I call it the multiple train syndrome. You're trying to move all these trains forward. And think about it, like you or someone else has to get off one train to move another train forward. The train's only going to go so fast and so far. But when you really allow yourself to focus and simplify your approach, you can move that train fast and you can go far. When you have too many things going on, you're not putting enough attention to any of them. And so you can't really nurture them and move them to completion. And there's the human brain likes completion. So really, like, look at my own experience and the experience of my clients who choose to start simplifying. There's power in simple. It's really interesting. I've been seeing a whole bunch of people in my community posting on Facebook and in their social media about this big revelation that it's time to simplify. Yeah, it is. I've never understood how anybody can manage multiple businesses, let alone having a lot of different offerings. And that leads me to the second thing that you need to simplify to multiply. And I personally experienced the pain around not knowing this early enough, and that was having too many offerings. See, we're kind of indoctrinated into this idea that you need to have diversified income. Well, what happens is we think to diversify, we have to have all these different offerings. And a lot of people are multi-talented. They have a lot of different strengths. They have experience in different ways and they create different programs. I'm raising my hand here because I've done this. But what ends up happening is there's too many different offerings. And you've heard the saying that a confused buyer doesn't buy. Look, if you have too many different offerings and the client doesn't know where to start, they won't. And not only that, it's really, really hard to manage. So one of the solutions I help my clients with, and we've done in our own business, is to create what's called a customer journey. If you have different things you can offer them, don't put them all out on the table in the beginning. Really guide the person through a journey. Start here, then go to this, and then go to that. And that might be hard to figure out on your own. I get it. You know, you love all your different offerings and you see value in all of them. So I have a client who is in my Awaken Leadership Mastermind. I'm not going to say her name because of privacy, but one of the things we worked on this year was really streamlining all these different amazing things that she'd created after 30 years in business. But the client wasn't buying because they had too many different choices and things were overlapping and it wasn't clear where to start and what to do next. And just going through that process, she felt more confident, more powerful, and she started increasing her profits because she could guide a client through, start here, then do this, then do that. And they made better choices faster because it was clear. So lesson number one, simplify to multiply. It's powerful and it works. The second thing that was really a very powerful learning for me along the way was what happens when you role switch. Now, most of us as entrepreneurs or solopreneurs or freelancers, we're doing everything in our business. That means some days you've got to be working on the marketing and some days you've got to be delivering your offering. Some days you need to think big picture and work on the operations. And some days you're going to be in the trenches, figuring out how to like move your client through the next step in the customer journey, right? That means you're using different energies in your brain. You're using different creative centers. You're using different strengths. You're using different thought processes. And what I discovered one day after feeling like I had really kind of failed in a marketing effort, this was probably about 7 or 8 years ago, was this reality that it's very hard to switch between logical roles and creative roles in your business. And I was actually having a conversation with a really good friend of mine. We've masterminded for years. And his name's Adam Urbanski. You may have heard of him, the marketing mentor. And we were just having a conversation, and I was telling him I was feeling like I just was not motivated and inspired to do the marketing. And he's like, well, that's because you're in delivery mode. You're coaching, you're delivering your offering. It's very hard to switch gears between both. Bingo. I realize it's very similar to multitasking, and you may have learned over the years that multitasking doesn't work either. So when you want to really get in your groove, you need to remember jumping between different roles in the business means you're going to switch into different thought processes, different skill sets, different ways of using your brain, and it requires vastly different energy. And so I like to create dedicated time now to be in certain energies. So if I'm going to be in marketing, I need to have a period of time where I just let my head get wrapped around the whole thing, and I get myself all sorted out. I get in the groove. It flows better. I think it through better. I don't make snap decisions that aren't really aligned. And the other thing I learned is to hire out the areas that I'm always going to be weak in. So if there's a role I just don't do well, or it means I sacrifice the quality of what I can deliver to my clients, I hire it out. And managing is one of those things. I always tell my team, I can do it. I should never do it because it means I'm not being creative because I'm having to drop into this very gritty and tangible world where I have to figure out what's getting done next and what has to be done in what order. And, you know, I was a trained project manager in the corporate world. So yes, I can access that strength. It's not the best of me. I don't do it the way I need to do it or want to do it. And I might as well hire somebody who's super passionate about it that can do it better. So role switching will often lead you to frustration because it's difficult to flip between those energies. So give yourself the grace and the bandwidth to be creative and then to go do the other thing. Don't try to do it all at the same time or flip between it in one like hour. Let's move to number three. And this was probably the single most painful thing I ever got to learn as an entrepreneur and as a business coach. Because I thrive in optimizing. I thrive when I can take something and amplify it over and over and over again because it's effective. And you will see people who seem to be doing the same thing over and over and over again. And you're like, yeah, that's what I want. I want to create a machine and just like run the machine. Here's what I learned. When you're growing to the next level, what you've done up to this point will most likely not get you to that next point. Here's why. Especially when you're going from radically different levels of success. Like if you've been in the five-figure game or even four figures for a really long time, and now you're ready, it's like, I claim six figures. I am going to make more money. I want this business to be real. I want it to feel like a huge success. And you're ready to leap and take some big, bold steps. The mindset that you use to get off the ground and create your business in the first place will not be the mindset that will get you to six figures. I learned this the hard way when I was, first of all, I knew I had to change my thinking from startup to six figures. And I did. Like I really like became nimble and adaptable. And I was like, okay, so doing it all myself isn't going to work. I have to be willing to leverage my time and my energy. It's what got me to running group programs and hiring a team. And so yes, I'd ace that. But the leap from six to seven figures was messy, was chaotic, was full of bottlenecks and challenges and fears that I didn't even know I had. And at times it stopped me. At times it threw me backwards hundreds and hundreds of paces because I didn't have the seven-figure mindset. I had a six-figure mindset. And there were things that had to change if I was going to break seven figures. Like I had to be willing to not just leverage my time, but scale. It's a very different energy. It's a very different vision and very different setup of the business. It means you have to get out of being the only one that can deliver the work product. Other mindsets that had to shift, like I had to look at where I held on to control of what the clients were doing, control of what the, you know, what the experience was that they were having. I had to let go of control of the perfection of getting things done in a certain way. And you know, I am wired to get things done right. So it was very hard for me to realize I had become the bottleneck to the very level of success I wanted. And then I had to look at the strategies. And here's where it really gets interesting. The strategies that got us out of the box quickly were not going to be the strategies that got me to seven figures and beyond. And it really, it wasn't even going to sustain a high six figures. And that's because things are always changing. We live in a dynamic world with a dynamic industry, especially if you're in the online space at all. The coaching industry is radically shifting right now. What got popularized as coaching that wasn't even coaching, and if you listen to my episode on the mentor versus coach, you know what I'm talking about. Strategy is always needing to change to respond to an ever-changing environment. And I literally got trapped in a strategy I loved because it really was the best of me, recognizing that it wasn't going to work to go where we were going next as a society and as a world. And I didn't adapt fast enough. And a lot of things, I was clinging to what worked because I didn't want to have to learn more new stuff. Where in your life have you ever found yourself getting like clinging to the old because you didn't want to have to learn new stuff? You didn't want to have to figure it out again. So it's very humbling for me to share this as one of my learnings, but I suspect I'm not alone in clinging to what I know because it's safe and it's comfortable there. And so ultimately what my greatest learning has been in life is be willing to always grow, be willing to surrender what we know today to become what we need the next phase of our growth. And so today, like I've created different ways in which I figure things out instead of like, okay, well, how do we do what we've always done? It's like, well, what's working now? What do our clients need most from us? What are their pain points now? And it's a constant conversation and a willingness to keep adapting and growing with our marketplace. And I think it's made us more nimble. It's made me better at what I do. And what is important to remember in all this is you always have to pivot around your genius. So you don't want to lose sight of what your genius and your strengths are, but you need to adapt the how. Maybe I'll do a whole episode on that. Number four, trust your gut. We are a society that rewards logic, like knowing things, being able to do things, like thinking about things practically. There's a lot of reward for that, and especially in the business world. And in success, it's your gut. It's your instincts. It's honing the part of you that knows things and has to listen for alignment. So alignment is knowing that your strengths, your vision, what you desire in this world is aligned with the actions you're taking and the vision you've set for yourself. And when you make decisions and you take action on things, are you trusting your gut for alignment? If this is foreign to you, here's what I mean. Sometimes what is popular and what's working out there is not going to be your alignment because you are a change maker, because you are a trendsetter, because you've got to push the envelope and trust that you do things differently and that your people will find you. Sometimes your gut is going to scream, this doesn't feel right. And yet everyone around you is saying, yes, let's do this. Let's move forward. And you don't know why, and you won't really understand it. But if you trust it, and you also parse out what's listening to my instincts versus what's fear, because fear plays into this, and I'll tell you the difference in a minute. But you have to recognize that your gut has guidance. Your instincts have knowledge. Like, there's something that you have to trust in that, especially if it doesn't make sense. So the other day I was speaking with someone who is actually in the entertainment industry and they were struggling with a decision they had to make. And, you know, the logic would say, don't make a change. She was struggling with the decision she was going to make around an acting project. And what we were exploring was, well, what happens if she trusted her instincts? And her instincts were to not move forward on it, but everyone was pressuring her to move forward on it. And she just felt deep down inside that it was the right thing to do. But the practical, logical part of her, like, okay, well, the money's there. And, you know, it's like I need to keep bringing in work or maybe I'll get tossed to the side, was not feeling aligned. And so recognizing that if she trusted her gut, there might be some cost to it. So how bold do you have to be to trust that it may not be comfortable? There may be consequences to trusting your gut. You may feel like you lose opportunity. You may feel like it's taking you out of the game. But that if you trust that part of you, that something really amazing is getting ready to happen. So in my life, I had to trust in 2010 that there was a lot of things that were not going the way I wanted or the way I planned, and things were starting to feel frenetic, and I literally had to take a step back and trust that I was being guided to kind of recalibrate a lot of things. And it was messy, it didn't feel good, and yeah, it was probably the biggest, most important decision I ever made. Trusting your gut means when you feel like that instinct kicking in to sort it out and go, is this fear or is this my intelligence system talking to me saying, this is not right for you. This is not your direction. There's something greater if you trust and you go the path that we want to go on. So I've used this cultivation of my instincts around how I hire, how I listen to a feeling about a potential client and whether or not they're a fit, decisions that I make of whether or not I pursue an opportunity. I'm really good at that one now. Like, I just get this feeling like, yes, it's right for me. No, it's not. I just had an opportunity to put in a proposal to speak at a really, really big event next year. And I was like, it's not right. It's not the direction we're going. It's not where our core market is. And even though it was super hard because I had all this FOMO, this fear I would miss out on something, I knew deep down inside it was not an aligned path for me. I've done this with who we partner with, knowing that there's all the cool kids that everybody wants to partner with. And I'm like, yeah, but they're not really going to bring our aligned audience into the space. So maybe it's a pass. I haven't listened to it at times when hiring and hiring out of desperation or deep need. And you're thinking, I need somebody, I'll just give it a shot. And then realizing later, it's like, okay, that was not a fit. That sucked. So I've gotten better at that over the years. So listen to that feeling. The one I want you to really explore right now is that feeling about a potential client. It's tempting to take on new clients because you need the money and you're like, yeah, I can help them. But if you get that feeling, it's like, yeah, something's off here. What if you were bold enough and courageous enough to say no or refer them out to someone who's right for them? When you get that feeling, here's what I found. When I get that feeling and I don't trust it, that client ends up being like the pain. The one that you're like, oh, I'm dreading the conversation with them today. And luckily, I don't have that very much anymore. But there was a time when I just had clients that were so exhausting. And it's just like, they feel like they drain your soul. Look, if you've got those clients, let it go. Like, find them someone else that's a better fit. Release it. Don't feel like you have to keep yourself in uncomfortable situations in order to deliver that what's not aligned. And it might be scary at first, but what I found is you get better clients who are willing to pay you more and they're more joyful to work with, especially if you're in a service-based business. When you basically you trust that part of you, this isn't a fit. So definitely a lot of confidence and courage to do that, and well worth it in the end. So let's go to number five. It's always in your head. Okay, maybe we'll put it's almost always in your head. Mindset is everything. It's really like, you know, what you take action on is at the top 10% of that pinnacle of that mountain. What is below that is all of the mindset that gets you to the point that you're ready to take the action. And what I've realized is that if you're fearing something and you're holding yourself back because you fear it, you are going to have that thing come up in your face over and over and over again, because you won't take the action. You won't focus on that goal. You'll talk yourself out of it. It's why I started the Own Your Bold Challenge, is because a lot of my clients and people in my life were holding themselves back from taking that next big bold step. And again, knowing the difference between fear and instinct is really critical here. And know that if you're instincts are kicking in and saying, all right, this doesn't feel good. You have to take a check and say, is this fear? Am I talking myself out of this because I don't know how to do it? or I'm afraid of what might happen? Am I holding myself back because I'm a fear of success or fear of failure? Or is there truly, this really just doesn't seem like it's aligned? And that means you need to dig deeper and figure out what would be aligned instead of just stopping. Your success is in your head. If you're talking yourself out of stuff, it's because in some way, shape, or form, your beliefs are not aligned with it. So my biggest breakthrough that kickstarted my success was recognizing that I was having these limiting beliefs and fears in my mind that were not real. I had concocted this whole big story about what it meant to be selling and marketing. And it wasn't real. It was my perception of what people would think. And it was complete malarkey and it was holding me back. And clearing that stuff out, I became an unstoppable fire that conquered six figures in record time and then just kept growing because I faced my fear, because I stopped taking it at face value and I released it and created a new definition. I created new stories. I created new beliefs that supported my goal. And I started to recognize when fear was actually playing too big a role in my decisions. And so now I have to blend the instinct trusting with recognizing fear and check in. I have a little process of, is this fear or is this instinct? And it's a very powerful part of how I make decisions now. And recognizing that if I have a fear, I have to be willing to take a bold action to move through it. And it's been the most powerful thing I've learned is fear doesn't mean stop. It means check in. It means evaluate. It means explore what would be more aligned. And what would I have to be willing to do to get unstuck? So on my blog, I share a story about my greatest fear is like what people will think. And so back in 1997, I had to go slay a dragon in the middle of the gas lamp district in San Diego, literally slay a oversized stuffed dragon. I was terrified. I was so embarrassed. I was just mortified I had to do this, but I was part of a program. And part of that program was you do the thing you're afraid of. And doing that liberated me. So if you want to read the story, I'll link it in the show notes at AmplifyYourSuccessPodcast.com. Trust me on this. If you are holding yourself back, take a bold action. It will allow you to dissolve fear's grip over you, and it will inspire you to do things that are aligned and powerful. So bold action literally just gets you unstuck. But if you can recognize that fear and limitation and like if you don't think something's possible for you, it's in your head. It's your definition. It doesn't mean it's true. And we can apply it to almost everything. Like if you think somebody's doesn't like you, if you're worried what people will think, if you have some story you tell yourself about getting more successful, it's in your head. All right, two more. Self-care is your lifeline. I can't say enough that as business owners with a big mission who are going to be on the go all the time, maybe you travel a lot, if you do not practice good self-care, you will burn yourself out, you will hit your wall prematurely, and then you will lose the motivation and the fuel to keep persevering towards the goals. Self-care might mean getting enough sleep at night. It might mean changing your diet and eating really quality. It might mean taking good care of your thoughts and, you know, being more self-compassionate and self-loving. It might mean that you need to slow down to speed up. It's one of the most profound things I ever learned. Slow down to speed up. Figure out what self-care looks like for you. At a minimum, I would recommend making sure you get good sleep, you eat healthy, and you have some exercise in your life. Putting that first instead of last is putting your oxygen mask on so you have the energy and the motivation and the stamina to keep going. So let's talk about number seven. Number seven was a hard one for me to personally grasp, and yet that's so ironic because it's what my life was about for 15 years in the corporate world. And that is the quality of your results is defined by the quality of your planning. I was a former project manager. I ran projects. I actually helped design a project management tool for a major corporation. So I really got project management. But for some reason, when I started being an entrepreneur, I was in massive winging it mode. And maybe you can relate to this. Like, there's always too much to do. I didn't have time to slow down and figure out what the plan was. And my results suffered. And not only did my results suffer, but my team struggled. Like, when I did have people helping me, that like reactionary, oh my gosh, what are we doing for cash flow this month? Or, oh man, we need to do this. Wow, okay, we didn't think about that. It really put a strain on my team and on my level of overwhelm. And so I think that's one of the reasons why I started looking back at what are the tools I have access to? What are the things I know? How could this be better? And I realized that one simple planning process could make a massive difference. And it's actually what I teach in my Profit Explosion Toolkit. I need to know where my cash flow is coming from, which is my revenue projections. I need to know what my greatest opportunities are. And I need to know when we're going to mail to my list or promote certain programs. And having that level of clarity would allow us to plan ahead and be 100 million times more effective, and the consistent revenue would follow. So I'm just slightly embarrassed to admit that it took me, you know, several years to get to that level of clarity. But then once I did, it's just everything started flowing so much easier. This one learning actually has served me really well as a business coach and mentor to others, because this is how I help my clients now. And it's funny how some people are pretty good at this, but most of my clients, when they tell me what they're struggling with, why they don't have the cash flow they want, that they're feeling overwhelmed, when we really look at the bottom line, they discover that they don't have a focus plan. They don't know what they're supposed to focus on and when they're supposed to promote their stuff. And so they kind of get in reactionary mode and they do what's the most urgent thing in front of them, which is usually not a proactive plan. And so kind of having this whole process literally is making a difference in the lives of my clients as well as in my own business. And I share that with you because I know a lot of people, they resist planning. They don't give it space. Like, they don't make the space to plan ahead. And sometimes you don't even know what you don't know. You don't even realize that this plan would make your life better, would make your business perform better, would actually help your team be more productive. And it's exhausting winging it all the time. I mean, yes, there's that creative surge that you get. And sometimes you get this idea like, oh, we should do this. And you jump in and make it happen. You don't have to eliminate that. You just have to make that the exception rather than the rule. And you'll get so much better cash flow. I have converted so many people to this process. And it makes a big difference overall. So I hope you've enjoyed my version of what I've learned so far. I have so many things that I've learned along the way. And I'd love to hear what you've learned along the way that's been really pivotal. This is Melanie Benson, your host. Thanks so much for listening in today. If you want to catch up on any of the show notes and circle back on any of the resources we shared in today's show, head on over to the show page at amplifyyoursuccesspodcast.com. And remember, you amplify your results faster when you're in a community of other people who are moving and shaking. Join us at amplifyyoursuccesscommunity.com. One last thing. When you've gained insight from today's episode, help us share that and inspire other people by heading over to iTunes, subscribing, and give it a review. iTunes absolutely loves seeing these reviews pop up, and it actually helps boost my show's visibility. So I would be super grateful for your reviews. And as always, I love seeing your shares of these episodes on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Come find me over there. Tag me in your shares. I'll give you some social media love right back. So see you next week for another inspiring episode of Amplify Your Success Podcast.